Sweat the Technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Who do you have more trust in, the Texans offense or the Texans defense? Texter says, we finally have a defensive voter, 1984. I don't know if I can take him seriously, though. I trust the defense because we got the GOAT, Lonnie Johnson.
Sounds a little bit sarcastic.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if Lonnie Johnson makes this football team. I think that he will. I think he'll be on the 53. He can give you a little bit of coverage, like, you know, deep corner. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking, like, deep in the depth chart, not, like, deep corner. I think he can play a little bit of nickel, and I think he can play a little bit of safety. So he's kind of like one of those versatile guys that backs up a bunch of different positions, plays special teams well. I think he'll make the roster. I just – if he's on the football field, then you've had some injuries.
Yeah, he's your Swiss Army knife. He's versatile enough to do all those things if he has any ability left, and not that he had the greatest ability when he was here the first time. But you hope that they saw something in their talent evaluation this time around that they liked, that he could fit in and give you some versatility.
All right, so this debate ever since Diggs became a Houston Texan, Stephen A. Smith has said it, I think Skip Bayless has said it. I know Dallas fans are very unhappy with their offseason. I think they've signed a long snapper, and that's about it. What the Cowboys have done this offseason, they've let a lot of guys walk.
Who else is unhappy? Michael Parsons.
Is he? Have you seen some stuff? No, I hadn't. What happened?
Oh, he's not holding back, and ever since Jerry said we're in go-for-it mode, like, the rumors now on ESPN in the last 24 hours is that he might be wearing out his welcome with the Cowboys because of how vocal he's been about how displeased he is with what they haven't done.
Yeah, I saw that part of it. I saw that he could be, like, wearing out his welcome or whatever. I didn't see the part where he was upset with the Cowboys offseason, but I guess that's what sparked it, huh?
Yeah, and then he's got the podcast, so he doesn't hold back. He doesn't have any filters, and on the podcast, he's just been kind of turning and burning and whoever he is on his list that day, he's going.
That can be a little bit of an issue. 4071, I hate to say it, but I'm a huge Cowboy fan. Sorry that you have to do that. And the idea that Dallas is better than Houston is frankly ridiculous. I'm quite sure they will prove that in whatever week it is they kick Dallas in the behind this year. Here's where I'm at with this. And here was Stephen A. Smith that kind of went viral, I guess, with this as well. And, you know, the Cowboys aren't the best team in Texas. Here was Stephen A. Smith talking about this after the Diggs trade.
They are officially the best team in Texas.
Let's move. Jerry's going to be hitting you up about that one.
Right, they're the best team in Texas.
is that a fair statement?
That's the best team in Texas.
Oh, yes. That's a fair statement.
Are we just going to dismiss the Cowboys?
That's a great point, though. It's a new day in Texas.
Yes, we are.
Is this the first time we can really say that?
I will say this.
Dallas?
Stephen A. brings up a good point. Jerry Jones talked about being all in. The Houston Texans are about it. Like, they are literally about it right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's where I'm at with this. That's enough of Stephen A. I can only take so much of Stephen A.
And that's Damian Woody, too, yeah.
Yeah, Woody's all right. Yep. I can only take so much of Stephen A. Here's where I'm at with this. I don't care. Like, even if the Texans are better than the Cowboys, I don't care. That's not tangible. You're not going into the 2024 season with your goal to be better than the Cowboys. Nowhere is D'Amico Ryans and Nick Casario, they're going to be close to the vest, anyways. Nowhere on their goals priority list, whether it's privately or publicly, is their goal to be better than the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe the one time that they play them in the regular season, but it's not a 2024 priority that you should be the best team in the state. You know what matters? Winning the division. You know what else matters? Trying to make a deep playoff run. Trying to get to the AFC Championship game for the first time in franchise history. Trying to reach the Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history. And the Texans aren't saying this. And Texan fans, I haven't really heard them say that either. But who cares about the Cowboys? Like, you're the Texans in the AFC with plans of trying to go deep into the playoffs with the second year of C.J. Stroud. And you think the arrow in the organization's pointing upwards. Do not waste your time, and I'm not saying Texans fans are doing this. People on ESPN are doing this. Do not waste your time worrying about a team in another conference. Bragging rights, cool, whatever, does not matter. Dallas could go all the way to the conference championship game. You don't see them in the playoffs. Maybe you get to the Super Bowl, don't even play Dallas, and it doesn't matter. So don't – I hate the, like, we're better than Dallas. Who cares? Who cares? Now, it's different between, like, the Astros and the Rangers because they're in the same division. It's different between the Rockets, Mavericks, and Spurs. They're in the same division. But don't worry about a team in the NFC.
Yeah, no, that's exact. You took the words out of my mouth. I mean, I think that Stephen A. obviously loves to crap on the Cowboys every chance he gets, and this was just another opportunity. But from a Houston fan's perspective, the fact that they're not in the same conference is all you need to know. I mean, your goals and aspirations are all dictated by your division, your conference, and how you play against those teams first and foremost before, yeah, you're going to play the Cowboys. That's great. But, if it's bragging rights like that, that's one thing. If it's being overly concerned with how you stack up and measure against a team that's in the NFC that has their own fish to fry, it's so irrelevant that it's ridiculous to have the conversation. Because you're right. The first thing I was thinking of, well, you got Spurs and Mavs, but they're all in the same, division and in the same conference as the Rockets. So they've always mattered. If it's baseball, the Rangers, and whether you care about the stupid silver boot or not, the fact is that you're in the same division. It matters. But to sit there and have any kind of energy provided towards, are you better than the Cowboys? I don't think that's a barometer. I don't think that's anything that everybody's measuring going, whoo, you ain't done anything till you're better than the Cowboys. No, because you need to be better than the Chiefs and better than the Ravens and better than the Bengals and the best teams in the AFC.
And that's really your competition. And even then, I'm still a worry about my front porch. Like, worry about my house. Like, do whatever you can to be the best possible team that you can be. And then whoever you're playing that given week is who you're playing that given week. And then you game plan and you go play them. Do you need to, like, keep up with the Joneses of Kansas City and Baltimore? Sure. But, like, you're still just trying to build the best roster you can possibly build. Like, I'm not a big proponent of worry about somebody else's team while you're building your own team. Focus on your team, focus on your house, and then just let everything else fall where it may. But especially if that team's in the NFC. 713-780-3776. 3281, Cowboys are still the best team in Texas until dethroned, just like the Astros were until the Rangers won a title. Okay, cool. Like, if you think that, that's awesome. I respect your opinion. I don't care about the Cowboys from a Texans perspective. And quite frankly, if you're a Cowboys fan, you shouldn't care about the Texans from a Cowboys perspective.
From either side, the only time you care about the other team is when you play them in the regular season next year. And any time you play them. Because that's the game you're focused on at that point, and that's where you obviously want to be better than them and win the game. Other than that, unless you're playing them in the Super Bowl, it is a zero.
That's where I'm at with that. A couple of texts, 8503, Nate and Seabrook. Come on, guys. You know, it's always fun to beat Dallas no matter what sport it is. When you play them, do I care if the Cowboys go 12-5 and you go 11-6? Not in the slightest. Could not care less. Now, when you play them, it's a fun week and you're going to have trash talk. But when you're talking about the season and, like, who's better before, like, you even had the draft, it's irrelevant. Like, it's to me, it's not even talk radio conversation.
It shouldn't be at this point. It really shouldn't be. And don't forget, there's going to be massive throwdowns in the parking lot when they play, no matter which parking lot they're in. But other than that, yeah, I guess fans get overzealous. And, a lot of times with liquid courage, a lot of things, barbs and emotions are exchanged. The only time it matters is when you play them whether it's in the regular season or you meet them in the Super Bowl. But until then, bragging rights, I guess, is fun. But at the end of the day, I think your analogy is the best. If you're 11-6, but you've got a playoff spot, you won the division, and you're in the place you want to be, who the hell cares if the Cowboys won 12 or 13 games? They got their business to handle, and you got yours.
9666, coming from a Texans fan, what exactly does dethroning the Cowboys even mean? Are we just judging playoff wins? Touche. Space City Kev, sorry, you're way off on this, Branham. I understand your line of thinking, but it's Dallas. It goes beyond divisions and sports. This is distaste between cities. It's real. We must take pleasure in their dismay! Exclamation point. Maybe I just don't have the sports hate as much. Maybe my sports hate isn't there as much as it is for some fans.
I mean, I have sports hate for Dallas as a lifetime Houstonian, a lifetime fan of these teams. I have sports hate for Dallas, but it really is just the game, as you guys mentioned. When it's on the schedule, I'm going to hate them then, but not only, as you guys have talked about, are they in a different conference, but honestly, I think we need to set our sights higher. We need to set our goals higher. How many times have the Cowboys got further than you have in the playoffs since the Texans have been in the league? Zero. The Cowboys haven't done anything of note to be able... Like one, the texter two texts ago mentioned about, like, what does the taking their crown even mean? Exactly. They haven't done anything. They haven't been to an NFC title game since you've even been in the league. So while it's fun to beat the Cowboys when they're actually on the schedule that week, other than that, who cares?
Yeah, I think when you look at it too.
You want to be better than them.
Yeah, from the perspective of handle your business and everything will work out in the end. Just worry about how good a team you can be week in, week out. Do what you need to do to win football games and get better as a team. And then if they're on your schedule, you play them. And if they're not, you don't worry about it. And if you see them down the road, so be it. But as long as you're handling your business and doing everything you can like they've done this offseason so far, you know what? The critics are going to be the ones that are going to say, you know, what they haven't done and what you have. You just worry about the fact that you're in a position to be considered one of the best teams in the NFL. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, like the Texans are going through this offseason, which we all like, and it's like, are the Texans capable of competing with Kansas City? Are the Texans a contender for the AFC crown? Can they get to a Super Bowl? Never in that thought process of the Texans building a roster that I really like did I think they're better than the Cowboys. Like, that to me is a loser mentality, quite frankly. 4702, I'd care if they were in the same division like Astros, Rangers. Absolutely. Yep. Like, you should compare yourself to the division because you're trying to win the division. Comparing to your team from a non-conference rival that just happens to be in the same state as yours is not coming up in anybody's mind other than fans and rivalry. I get that. 8170, you can tell you aren't really from Houston. I was born in Houston, grew up in Humble. Dallas versus Texans does matter in every aspect. Or y'all don't have family friends that are Cowboy fans. I have a friend who's a Cowboy fan. He's not obnoxious like Snow, so maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I was born in this city. I've lived here for 40 years, and I have tons of fans who are Cowboys fans. So that texture's way off.
1984, and go ahead, Blinker.
This is just moral victories, right? Like, you know, if your team doesn't do what you want it to do overall, then you go back, well, at least we're better than the Cowboys at the end of the year. I mean, if that's the one you want to hang your hat on at the end of the year.
Again, to back up what you guys have said, that's a loser mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's like playing a district rival in high school football and both teams aren't going to the playoffs.
Yep.
Well, at least we beat our rival. We went 2-8, but one of those wins was against the rival. 5180, it's relevant when dealing with arrogant Cowboy fans. Fair enough. Maybe I just don't have the arrogant Cowboy fans in my life like some of you do. I will give way on that. I'll trust that. 1984, I'd rather beat Baltimore and Kansas City than the Cowboys. 100%.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, because then you're going to get your flowers no matter what. It doesn't matter if you get the bragging right flowers in state. You beat those type teams and you're doing, that means you're probably having one hell of a year. You're going to get all the credit in the world 10 times over from the national media, the local, everybody that watches football.
713-780-ESPN. Where do you stand on this? 713-780-3776. Lifelong Cowboys fan. Texans are my second favorite team. That seems sacrilege in Texas. It seems sacrilege in Texans for the Cowboys and the Texans in either order to be your top two teams.
I think there's a lot of people like that, though.
Really? I don't feel like you should be that way. I feel like that's weird. That's weird to me.
Yeah, I just right off the top could think of three or four people that I know that as much as the Cowboys are their favorite team, the Texans are number two.
Can you do that? Can you have the Cowboys and Texans as your top two teams in football?
It is very weird.
I don't think you can.
It's very awkward, but I mean, I guess.
No, I don't know how I feel about that.
You know one of them.
What, Dre?
Yeah.
I've never really noticed Dre being that arrogant. I mean, he's arrogant.
No, he's not an arrogant, but he's a Cowboys 1, Texans 2 guy.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Yep.
That's weird. Like, he's like, I mean, he listens to us all the time, so maybe it's kind of like because of what we talk about and stuff like that. But I just can't see how you could be – those are your top two teams. Dexter Bow, this just proves why the NFL dominates the other sports. There's absolutely nothing else to talk about right now than on First Take. Who's better, the Cowboys or the Texans? That's what this is all about. I mean, it happened a week and a half ago, and we've talked about the Astros for the first hour of the show, so I don't get that, Dexter Bow. Also, we're just jealous Houston is making moves to win while Dallas sits and does nothing. That's fair enough. okay.
He didn't care about it, but then he cared enough to keep going.
0483 says, no, you can't have Texans and Cowboys as your top two teams. 4071, why can't you love all things Texas football? That'd be like rooting for the Aggies and the Longhorns.
Did you beat me
It'd
to
be
it
like,
again?
Yeah, like the Cougars and the Owls.
That would be like rooting for the Rangers in the World Series.
Yeah, well, some people did.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm making the point.
I was born and raised in Houston, but I'm a Cowboys fan, but I root for the Texans. You had to pick one,
it's
I
gross.
Feel like. It's possible based on everything you just said. No. I'll root for the Cowboys and Texans because Cowboys are in the NFC. Cowboys and Texans fan? Heck nah. And then somebody said it's because of the Oilers. Well, it's always the Oilers' fault. Always Bud Adams' fault some way or another.
Don't blame the Oilers. Blame Bud.
However, if you can you imagine the Texans win a Super Bowl before the Cowboys do, though? That's different. Like, now that's like you have something over them. Like, yeah. having a better offseason than the Cowboys does not matter. Like, you don't win games.
But you're sitting on top of the mountaintop, too. You're the best. Not only is it with the Cowboys, it's with every other damn team in the league. That means, yeah, you have reached the mountaintop and no one else is sitting on your level.
8437, not talking about local, talking about national media. He said, not talking about local media, talking about national media. Okay, fair enough, Texture, but I'm not, I don't know how Blankers, you know, describes himself, but I'm not media. Don't call me media. It's insulting to call me media. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Is that because you call yourself an influencer?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm an influencer. I'm a TikToker.
Acknowledge me!
I'm a sports entertainer. I'm a content creator. I'm all of those things. Not a journalist, not a media member.
You're a joker? You're a smoker?
No,
you're
I'm not.
You're a midnight toker?
No.
Mm.
No on two of the three.
Okay.
I'll let you pick which one. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. When I hear people say if the Texans win a Super Bowl before the Cowboys do, they've got some explaining to do about their math on Super Bowl victories. Not this century, though. Wheat straw, as my great-great-great-grandmother used to say, to heck with the Cowboys. Fair enough. The Texans can never win a Super Bowl before the Cowboys, you jerk. Okay, they meant, like, recently, though. They meant, like, you know, the Cowboys have never won one since the birth of the Texans, right? When was the last Cowboys Super Bowl?
No, because
1994, 95.
Yeah, it's been over 20 years.
So
yeah, since the birth of the Texans have more playoff wins, and they've been to the same level of the playoffs as each other. They've both never gotten to a conference title game since 2002.
And the head-to-head is tied?
That I don't know off the top of my head.
Texans won the first game ever between the two of them, and then I want to say that they – did the Texans go to Dallas and
the
get
Texans
beat?
Won again. It was like 2018, I think.
You can't count Super Bowls before the birth of the franchise, though. Like, well, who wins a doing. Super Bowl since the birth of the franchise? Like, you're counting 94 and prior. You're counting 2002 and prior. Like, let's start from the birth of the franchise. Neither team has won a Super Bowl since the birth of the Houston Texans.
Neither team has even been to a conference title
Cowboy
game.
Fans can't let go of those because that's all they can hang on to for the last several decades.
Unbelievable. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Andrew will wrap up this conversation. Andrew, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey, so I just had a little insight as far as the Cowboys / Texans fandom. So I was born in Oklahoma, moved to Killeen, and then El Paso. And I was we lived in Killeen, Texas, when the Cowboys won multiple Super Bowls. By the time we moved to Houston, it was in that gap between when the Oilers left and the Texans started. So I became a fan of the Texans when the franchise started, but I'd still like to see Dallas do well in the NFC if the Texans aren't relevant. But they're not my second favorite team by far, but I still have love for both teams.
All right, fair enough. I guess we shouldn't be telling people how to fan. Yeah. That is fair, I guess.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Because there's so much vitriol otherwise between the two squads, it's hard to all of a sudden say, I like them both.
Yeah, it is weird to me. That one makes some sense, but still weird to me. You're right. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. It is Masters Week, so I got to make a little Masters bet. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for X-Golf and Katie. If you haven't been, you need to go, especially if you're a golfer. But even if you're just looking for a great sports bar in the Katy area, it's the best combination of both worlds, as it's the best sports bar environment with great golf simulators. I think they're the best in the entire area, and they're the only X-Golf simulators in Houston. They are fantastic. The putting, realistic, and you can work on your putting and your chipping just as well as you can work on every other shot in your bag. And now they've got two leagues that you can sign up for, too. The bottom line is that if you're looking for a great place to watch games, they got the sports bar aspect. Plenty of screens, lots of great food and beverage. They got you covered. But if you're a golfer, think about going and wanting to hit balls at night and it's still hot out, or you just don't like the thought of being outside. You can go inside, use the simulators, and track every shot, distance, direction, spin rate, all those things. You can even use your own golf ball. And now with these leagues starting, it's a great way to meet people and socialize, win some prizes, possibly, but have some fun as well. And once you go there once, you'll go there a ton of times, because whether it's your tee time got rained out or you're looking for a place to practice and you just love golf so much, you can go to X-Golf Katy. Monday Night League is an individual league. Each person plays 18 holes every week. And think about it, you don't have to walk to your golf ball between shots. So it's a pretty quick 18 holes, hour and some. And it's April 22nd to June 10th, $300 per player. You get to play each and every week on Monday night, and the winner receives two custom-fit, tailor-made wedges of choice. On the Wednesday night league, it's a nine-hole, two-man scramble league, April 24th to June 12th. Two-man teams, 300 per player, nine holes per week, gross and net scores, and the winning team receive TaylorMade or Callaway drivers. Phenomenal prizes, but an even better place. I'm telling you, the best simulators you've tried in this area. Check them out today. Check out X-Golf Katie online.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, I love this music. It just makes me... Hello, it just puts me in a good mood. Puts me in a good mood. No, Ian Eagle's taking over for Jim Nantz.
Oh, really?
No, I just tricked
Even
you.
At the Masters?
No,
Jim Nantz is still doing the Masters, right?
Yeah, I was tricking you.
Okay.
He didn't actually... He just took over for the... Final Four,
right?
College basketball. All right, so our Masters draft. We're each going to pick a roster of six golfers. Top three finishers of the six, lowest score of those three wins. So any player that makes a cut, you can use to your score. So top three, team of three, that score wins. What's our bet here? What are we putting at stake? Is this a lunch bet?
I think it's always a
coffee
lunch bet, right? Or whatever, however you guys want to do it.
I don't know, because usually our season long bets are like.
Just do coffee?
Yeah, coffee's fine with me.
Coffee or a drink?
Yeah, we can do like a drink at a remote.
Do an Arnold
drink
Palmer.
Of our choice at a remote.
Okay, that works. Drink of our choice at the next remote. Because usually it's the season ones that are lunch bets.
Yes.
I guess March Madness was the lunch bet, but that was 3 weeks.
Whatever. By the way, congratulations, Joel. You are the winner.
Appreciate it.
Blankers won. Golf clap for Blankers for winning the March Madness thing. I got screwed in that thing, but I didn't lose.
That's always where you can hang your hat with a little something. Save the day.
I got trashed. Yeah, my picks were terrible.
Yeah.
So thanks, Cougs.
Brian owes Blankers a little bit of Star Pizza lunch buffet. All right, is this already in order, Brian? Did you already do
yes.
the? All right, so
yes.
I have the first pick.
Yes, you do.
How did I not know that?
Awesome.
Okay.
I mean, you didn't look at the rundown then.
I had looked at the rundown, Brian.
Right
looked,
there.
Believe me, going into the first segment of the show, I was explaining the process to Brian.
Yeah, no, I didn't do it until the last segment.
One of y'all had five golfers. You can't do five golfers in a snake draft. It has to be an even number. That's snake draft 101.
Oh, we're doing snake. I didn't know we were doing snake.
Last year we did five golfers each, right?
Well, you can't do odd numbers in a snake draft.
Six if you want.
Yeah, we're going to do six of them. You have to have an even number in a snake draft because you have to have the punishment of having the last pick for the person who had the first pick. Everybody knows that. All right, I'm going to take it Scottie Scheffler.
It's probably a good pick.
Yeah, makes sense.
Scottie Scheffler is on the Branham roster, Team Branham.
Mm.
Blankers has second pick.
Okay. I am going to go with Rory McIlroy.
Okay. Rory never won the Masters. It's the one major that he's...
Well, he choked it 1 year.
Yeah, was it number 10 where he yanked it in
yep.
the trees, made an 8 in the hole?
Sure was.
That's the one major he needs for the career Grand Slam. Tiger said today that he's going to get it at some point. All right, Brian, you have the next two picks. You're on the turn.
Yeah, I feel pretty fortunate to be able to get last year's winner here at the third pick, but I'll go
Brian.
I'll go with John
Brian.
Rom. What?
Brian, what do we talk about during the break?
Yeah, but it's still 5 minutes away before we get there. It's fine.
Wait a minute. You guys are conspiracizing again?
No. Settle
we
down.
Do
We're
that.
Talking about the giveaway.
Well, that's not true. I guess we do that.
Yeah, sometimes. but John Rahm will be my first pick, and then since we are snaking on the way back, I will make my next pick Colin Morikawa.
Oh.
Not bad.
Colin Morikawa. Okay. Not in the best of form right now, but I see ya.
Okay.
See ya, Brian.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go Xander Schauffele.
Xander Schauffele, never won a career major, never won a major in his life.
Why do you want to crap on all my picks? Just prop up yours.
Because that's your reaction and it makes it entertaining.
Right. I just don't understand it.
Well, I just told you why I did it. Because
doesn't
it's that reaction and it's entertaining. How do you not understand that logic? It's very simple.
Because it's annoying.
Well, okay, it can be annoying.
You're ridiculous.
It's simple to understand.
You're utterly ridiculous.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Will Doctor will be joining us to break down the Masters. He's the best... golf better in the world. He had a 65-1 outright winner win last week, so he'll be joining us for all your betting in the Masters tomorrow. Can't wait for that. So I got the swing here. I'm gonna take the best major champion golfer since Tiger Woods in his heyday. I'm taking the guy that a lot of people say I look like. Brooks Koepka will be my pick here. Next one's tough. I got the swing here. I'm between two guys. They both play the Masters well. I'm torn on this one. Give me Jordan Spieth. I'll go with Jordan Spieth here.
Oh, man,
at the
I was hoping he was going to make it back to me.
Well, you're Longhorn bias.
Yeah.
I'll trade you Spieth for Rahm.
No, I'm fine.
Worth the shot.
Longhorn bias isn't that strong.
Blanker's your pick.
I'm going to go Tony Finau.
Oh, broke his ankle one time playing the par three there. Bad
he dislocated
karma.
It, didn't break it, but it was nasty.
That was gross.
Ugh.
I can't believe he played through it, though. What a gamer. All right, Brian.
So I'm up for, two more picks. I'll go with Brooks Koepka.
I just drafted him.
He did it already.
Did?
So
okay.
Thank
drink.
You, Joe George, for playing.
You got to drink now fault. Because you took a guy who already picked. Drink.
All right. Wyndham Clark will be my next pick then.
U.S. Open champion.
I'll take Wyndham Clark.
Second best W. Clark that's ever played sports.
You going Will Clark?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, he was a pretty good first baseman. And then next pick, I will go give me Dustin Johnson.
Mm. Okay. Dustin Johnson on the LIV Tour hasn't been significant since. Okay.
I'm going to go Victor Hovland.
Okay. Hovland never won a major, right? He didn't win a major,
I don't
did he?
Think so.
Did he win? I thought he... I don't remember. I think he finished like second in one. Oh, he won the FedEx Cup. That's what I'm thinking
yes.
of.
Yes.
He won all the money in the FedEx, but never has won a major.
He had three wins
right.
last year.
Yeah, he had a great year. Can't win the big one, though. That's
nope.
what they say about Hovland.
We'll see.
So it's my pick. The guy that I was going to pick... is still here. I was trying to fight between two different guys the last time I was selecting, and the guy I was fighting with is still here. Hideki Matsuyama. He was born to play Augusta.
Yeah, good call.
Give me Matsuyama to play Augusta. You know the guy that does the what's going down in Augusta? That viral YouTube thing where he's like a radio guy at Memphis and dances.
Yeah, yep.
I met him at the FedEx Forum when we were there for the tournament.
Really?
Yeah, great. He's a funny guy. I walked up to him and I go, "What's going on at Augusta?" And he laughed and we had a cracker together. All right, so I get another
great
one.
Story.
Here.
You shared a cracker together.
Media snacks weren't
fascinating.
Great. The media snacks weren't great. I'm going to go with the hotshot golfer that I don't think did he play Augusta last year. I'm not even sure. I'm going. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. Ludvig Åberg. He's going to be my pick here. He's going to help out my
maybe
trio.
Is it Ludvig?
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce names.
I think you said Ludvig. I think it's Ludvig. I don't know. It's fine either way, but I think
know,
it might be Ludvig.
I don't know, but he's going to win a green jacket, and he's going to buy me a drink, or he's going to win me a drink from one of you jabronis.
All right. Well, if it's my pick.
My
now.
Pick,
no,
right?
I'm sorry, no, Joel. Joel is up next. You're right.
How about Will Zalatoris?
Damn it.
Good pick.
I mean, he's got a broken back. I was going to go back to back with names I didn't know how to pronounce.
If he didn't have a broken back,
he's got
I
a week
like
back.
Pick.
Jeremy heard it about a week back. It's okay.
Gosh. Yeah, he had a broken back last year. It was spinal. All right, Brian, you're two.
Oh man. Okay. So thinking. Give me Cameron Young. Okay. I will go with my next pick.
Second best Cameron.
Behind.
Well, I'm not going
to
say.
I was trying to trick you into one there. Good call. Then give me Justin Thomas.
That's good value.
I thought about
Thomas.
Him.
I mean, terrible form last year. Should have never been on the Ryder Cup, but Zach Johnson had a little nepotism involved there. But, you know, he's traditionally a good golfer. This is your last pick here, Blankers. Make it count.
Max Homa.
Okay. Notorious choker in the Masters.
He's a long ball hitter, Jeremy. Come on. That's exactly what plays well there.
Nah. It's just weird. He's a way better golfer than his major performance. But I do like him. He's a good golfer. This one, should I go volatile here and pick a guy since my last pick that can just go nuts? Do I go with a guy who's used to the course?
Pick volatile. You got Scheffler with your first pick. Go volatile.
Cameron Smith is the better Cameron over Cameron Young, but I don't think I'm going to take him here.
He's had success there, right?
Yeah. I think he's had like a top five, maybe. Patrick Cantlay. I don't like Cantlay in big tournaments. Seems to choke. Fleetwood, the Gala, no. Harman and Lefty, no. Give me... Okay.
Take
Why
the guy
not?
Who threw his arm out celebrating last week.
Tiger?
No.
Oh. Come on, Jeremy.
Sahith?
What?
Was it the guy that won? Who was the guy's name again? The 65-1 favorite?
Yeah, he celebrated on 18 and then had to have a literal timeout to hide in like a suite on 18 so his trainer could like put that heavy tape up his arm because he celebrated too hard and threw his shoulder.
Batia or whatever his name was. He's 65-1 dog. Will Doctor had him as an outright winner. Will Doctor will be joining the Killer Bees tomorrow for all your Masters bets. No, I'm not going to draft a guy who's 6'6", a buck 20. Just can't do it. Give me Bryson DeChambeau. I'll go nuts here. Give me DeChambeau. Going to bomb Augusta and finish. Hopefully makes the cut. We'll see about that. All right, who won? I got Scheffler, Koepka, Spieth, Matsuyama, Åberg, I think, and DeChambeau. Blanker's got Rory, Xander, Finau, Hovland, Zalatoris, and Homa. And then Brian has Rahm, Morikawa, Clark, Wyndham Clark, Dustin Johnson, Cameron Young, and Justin Thomas. Who got the best here? I like my squad.
I think
I got the best of it. Brian, do you think you got the best draft?
I have no confidence in my picks. I think I might be buying another drink.
Yeah.
Was it Brendan 2 years ago that just had no freaking clue and was just taking it based on how their name sounded?
No, Brandon was drafted. No, he was drafted in golfers that shared names with the gal employees.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
I should have done that. I like it.
It was hilarious.
That's what it was.
Needless to say, he finished dead last. I think he had one golfer that finished in the top five.
I think it was
Cam Smith.
It was for Cam. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It was for Cam. All right. Cash it or trash it. What hot takes, what overreactions are you cashing or trashing this week? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Before we go to break, we're going to give away some tickets to the Chevron Championship. It's coming to Houston April 17th through 21st at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. The Chevron Championship is one of five major championships on the Ladies Professional Golf Association Tour. This year's event features some of the world's most talented female athletes competing in the tour's first major of the season. Tickets are available now. Head to thechevronchampionship.com. We're giving away a pair of ground access tickets right now. This is for Friday, the 9th. So you're looking at, that can't be the 9th. So Friday tickets for the Chevron Championship. We're giving away these tickets now. This will be for the 18th. So the Friday round of the Chevron Championship, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Chevron Championship, first major championship of the year. We're going to give this to the first caller who knows last year's Masters champion. So the first caller to know last year's Masters champion, you're getting Friday tickets to the Chevron Championship, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Cash it or trash it next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for Doc Linville. Look, I've been telling you about him for a long, long time now because I only speak for people I believe in. I believe in Doc, and I believe in the NeoGraft procedure. I had no idea what it was when he brought it to me and said, hey, I just want to sit down with you for a few minutes, see if this is something that might interest you. And I had a consultation with him. He told me about the NeoGraft. It was obvious that, you know, my hairline went from a 4-head to an 8-head. And I hadn't really thought about any options where I could actually get my own hair back. And after talking to him, I was very much intrigued by the NeoGraft procedure. I ended up doing it. And I can't even begin to tell you how happy I am that I did, because it's a game changer. You literally get your hair back. It's your own hair, because genetically you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how much you lose the hair in other areas. And it actually, the hair you can see immediately in 6 to 9 months, it gets stronger, it gets longer, and because it's taken from a spot where you're never going to lose it, it ain't going anywhere, and you probably have it the rest of your life. It's phenomenal. And as a listener to ESPN 97.5, it doesn't get any easier. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com right now, set up a first appointment. Just go in and meet with them like I did. Cost you nothing. No obligation, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket. Just you and doc staff talking about the procedure. You ask questions, they give you answers. See if it's right for you too. I can't encourage you enough to do at least that, just to see, because it's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's an absolute confidence builder when you get your hair back. And I encourage you to at least check it out and see if it might be right for you too. He's the best in the business at doing it. Go to 975hair.com right now and see my friend Doc Linville.
The Links, baby, at East River 9 with our unlimited membership.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Hmm.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. 7230 says that Brenham won the draft. Brenham. Morikawa, worst pick in the draft, by the way, Brian.
That sounds racist.
The expert, 7230. Wheatstraw said nobody won, especially the listeners. All right, well, that's a mean text. We'll use that on Friday. Yeah,
that's like double rods whenever we play Who Said It.
Yeah. All right, cashing or trashing? What are you cashing or trashing? 713-780-3776. What are you cashing or trashing, Lakers?
Oh, man, I've got a couple. I'm going to go with the UConn Huskies are going to defeat the Duke Blue Devils and win their third straight NCAA basketball championship next year.
Trash.
Obviously, you're going to trash it.
Trash.
Yeah, trash it. That's all I got to say.
Brian?
You don't have any more to add to that, Jeremy?
Nope.
Oh, he can't. You know he won't.
Nope. I don't have anything else to add to that.
I will trash it just because of the odds.
Trash.
But if there was any team that looks built to be able to pull off such a feat, I think UConn's got a chance. But
they lose quite a bit, though,
don't
they?
Trash it.
I think they lose quite a bit of their roster.
Klingon's back. No.
Well, I think he's going to go for the draft.
You do?
I think so, yeah. He's a lotto pick.
I give him credit. This one was impressive just simply because they lost five guys from last year's team. I thought that they had the ability. You're right. They could still go pro. But I thought they had the ability to bring back, I think, four or five guys.
No, yeah. I just think some of them
right.
go pro.
But the two best recruiting classes, I think, right now in the nation coming in are Duke and UConn.
Yeah, Duke's up there. They got that blanket on his name. Cooper Flagg. It's
Flagg.
Cooper Flagg.
There he goes. I was going to say two G's on the end. Yep.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg. All right, I'm going to cash or trash. Which one are you picking here? Tiger will miss the cut. He's trying to set the record for the 24th straight made cut, which would give him the record all alone at Augusta. He's tied with like a handful. I think he's tied with two other guys for the most
Couples,
consecutive cuts. Who's that?
I think Freddie Couples is one of them.
There you go. Go Cougs. I think that he's going to miss the cut and not get the outright record.
Yeah, I'm going to cash it. Last year, you and I had a bet, and I was adamant that that guy knows that course and that he can still play that one course better than most. Just seeing him try to get a ball out of the hole when he's practicing, it's the back, it's the knee, it's the leg, it's too much. He's not playing nearly regularly enough. I just believe that we've seen the end of the road, and Tiger just ain't capable of driving anymore. So I'm going to say cash it.
Yeah, I'm gonna cash it as well. I mean, people are talking about how he has even trouble just bending over to pick up a ball. I could see him starting off strong, but then as the day goes on Thursday and then into Friday, I think the injuries are going to take the toll, wear him down, and I don't see him making the cut.
We'll be at East River 9, by the way, on Thursday. Watching the Masters. So come hang out with us, East River and I. We'll be watching the Masters with you. All right, Tiger not making the cut. Here was Tiger Woods in his media availability at Augusta saying that he's going to win one more.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
Everybody's
describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Cash or trash, Tiger gets one more.
Just one more Masters or just one more major?
I think he's talking about majors.
I think the only chance he's got is there because, as you and I have discussed, I've always believed it's not how far you hit it, and it's not all the modern-day golf. That is, you have to know where to place every single shot on that course, and he knows it better than most. His only chance is to win one at Augusta one more time, and I just don't believe physically he can keep up, so I think I'm trashing it.
I think he can win I don't think he's going to, but I think you can throw a couple of British Open courses in that too, where it gets really windy. You know, it's more about know-how. Tom Watson almost won one when he was like 83 years old.
Right.
Probably should have if he could have went up and down, but he overshot the green. So I think, look, I don't think he's going to do it. I'm going to trash this, but I would throw in a couple of the British Open tracks.
Okay,
along
let me ask
with
you
Augusta.
This. Which do you think is more difficult for him? Walking Augusta, which is underrated for how much with the undulations and the different. Or walking the British Open courses?
I think walking Augusta because of the undulation, yeah. Now, the thing with the British Open, though, is like for him to win one of those, he would need it to be windy and bad weather.
Yeah.
And I think like the cool weather would be bad for his achy body.
Exactly. And then with the wind and everything, and if it's wet, I think, you know, he basically pulled the plug when it was raining at Augusta last year when he probably could have finished and just withdrew. Yeah, that's why I just think that though, even if it's longer stretches, I think he'd struggle more with the British Open.
The last time Tiger played a golf tournament, the ambulance had to come get him.
Like, was that this year at the Genesis?
He's going to make a cut? Like, what? The ambulance had to come get him. Yes, it was the only tournament he played.
Yeah, the one
in
L.A., yeah.
All right, Brian, what do you got?
So as we approach the NFL draft, it feels like a different parts this offseason when we've looked at mock drafts, and certainly we don't look as many now since the Texans were out of the first round. But there have been people projecting quarterbacks to go, you know, picks 1, 2, 3. I've even seen mocks where they're picking quarterbacks to go picks 1 through 4. But I just don't see it with Drake May. I don't see it with J.J. McCarthy. I do believe, obviously, quarterback goes number one to the Bears with Caleb Williams. And I do believe Jaden Daniels will go number two to Washington. But I don't see another quarterback being taken until maybe six there or after. Forget three quarterbacks in a row. Forget four quarterbacks in a row. Only two quarterbacks in the top five.
I'm trashing it. I think New England.
Trash.
Especially after getting rid of Mac Jones. I don't care who they signed off the scrap heap. They're going to go get a quarterback. And there are plenty of guys that are considered to be at least NFL caliber quarterbacks this year. I think that you'll go three. Maybe not four. I agree with you because I don't think J.J. McCarthy's that guy. But I do believe that they'll be.
I just kind of wonder if New England looks at the rest of the roster needing basically help everywhere.
They're going to take a receiver?
Well, I mean, I
think they trade down in that world.
Yeah, if they trade down,
possibly
yeah, exactly.
So. I just think they look at the roster and kind of like the Texans when they got into their rebuild. Like, we're not ready to add a development quarterback to this roster.
If they trade down, whoever trades up is going to take a quarterback.
I agree with you. I'm trashing it.
Yep.
I could see the Patriots not going QB, but I feel like because of your points, Brian, like they have holes everywhere. We'll trade down and acquire multiple picks. That way you can build to the totality of all of those weaknesses. I think the three quarterbacks go in a row.
Denver, Minnesota, they're all quarterback hunting. There's plenty of teams that are going to want to trade up.
I'm hoping that it's Mayo that goes to, though, for reasons I don't want to talk about. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cashins or trashins from the text line. If Astros can't win more games, they trade Bregman at the trade deadline for prospects.
I don't think there's any way they do that.
Trash.
They're going to ride
it out.
I don't
think they're going to lose
games. Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose games either, but I think that the other thing is that they're going to play it just like they played every other big name that they had to make a decision on. They're going to let him finish the year out. They're going to say that they're doing their darndest. They're not going to pull the plug early where they might face criticism too, and then at the end of the year, you know, they'll either figure out what they can or say goodbye and thanks for all the memories.
Yeah, but this scenario is different than all those other scenarios because this is the Astros are out of the race. They were never out of the race when Correa left, when Cole left, when Springer left. This you know, makes the assumption that they're going to be 10 games back and it will be sellers at the deadline. I don't envision that scenario, but if they are in that scenario, I would say yes, you need to trade Bregman at the deadline for prospects. I just don't think they'll be in that scenario.
I would say
I will trash it.
I would say that I agree with you that that's what they need to do. I don't feel like the organization will do that because of the emotion of it with the fan base and everything like that. You're right. They need to do that. I just have a sneaking suspicion they're just going to they're gonna try and win one in the reputation category and hang on.
Well, I just don't think they're going to be in that spot because of their record.
That, too, I agree with.
Brian?
Yeah, no, I'm making unanimous. But not trash for both reasons you guys gave.
Last one from Ocho. Stephon Diggs' contract season will be problematic than beneficial for the Texans.
Man, beneficial. I don't know how that's beneficial. I think
it's beneficial because of prove it deal. Like he's gonna have something to prove. He's gonna have to play well. He's gonna have to be on his best behavior. He's gonna have to produce. I will say that it's gonna be more beneficial though. So I'm trashing it.
Trash.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the way it played. I don't think they had to do what they did either. But yeah, I'll trash it.
Trash.
Yeah, no, I would weigh on the side of beneficial as well. So make unanimous trash.
Trash.
All right. There you go. Cash your trash it with Killer Bees. Is UConn a blue blood? And should we rewrite the rules of who a blue blood is? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I've been telling you for a while now about Gentle Ben. I've been doing it because Gentle Ben's fantastic. Gentle Ben is the best. It all starts with the finest ingredients, classic, time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses their innovative process that removes the harshness that's found in most spirits. The result is unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentle Ben gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy. Gentle Ben offers the vodka, the gin, the straight bourbon whiskey, and the cask strength bourbon. All are fantastic, all in my rotation. What's in your rotation? Get Gino Bennett the Astro Games. They have a bar inside of Minute Maid Park. Stop by on your way to your seats. They have a Ben's Bar in the Toyota Center. Last Rockets home game tonight. Last chance to stop by Ben's Bar. Or just go online. Order it off the website. GentleBen.com. Order the vodka. Order the gin. Order the bourbon or the whiskey. And they'll deliver it straight to your doorstep. GentleBen.com. GentleBen. Smoothest. Honest.
Can you dig it? Dig it. Sucker. Sucker. Sucker.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is our champion, Blankers. This is the champion of the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket.
Six times now.
He doesn't count the six because it doesn't sound as good. Six times doesn't sound as good as five times. So he just ignores that six time. Yeah, Booker T has won the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. He defeats Seth Payne in our final, which is great news. I can stop tweeting about this every single day. I got a little tired of doing this. We're going to have to rethink this next year. But Booker T defeats Seth Payne. Seth Payne actually commented on the result, saying he didn't have time to train. If Seth Payne had time to train, Seth Payne, of course, one half of PP every morning on Highway to Hell, would he have beaten Booker T?
No. Nope, Brian? Just too much experience.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting on the side of the Hall of Famer.
My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off, Blankers. That's right. Too much experience?
Yeah, just too much experience all around. Still involved. Cagey, smart, strong. Doesn't even have to be quick anymore in terms of getting around the ring. I think, didn't we all predict that he would win it?
I know we all had Payne and Booker T in our final. I don't
remember picking a champ.
Yeah, I don't think I did either.
Oh, we just had to pick the final four, right?
I think that's what it was. It was a failure, I guess. We probably should have picked a champ.
Yeah, maybe.
But Booker T wins 59%, 41%. I wrote a plan. I think I told you this. Of course, I've golfed with Booker T. Mm-hmm. Booker T is probably the guy that I enjoyed golfing with the most.
Humble brag.
Art Howe's up there, too. Yeah, I'm flexing by mentioning the time I golfed with Booker T. I've said it a million times. He hits the ball 220 yards off the tee, but dead center every single time. But watching him walk in the airport, mm-hmm. the last time that I saw Booker T, and we were on the same flight. I can't remember where
Vegas,
it was,
right? Weren't you guys going to Vegas for a broadcast?
I don't think that I went to Vegas in a while.
Oh, you didn't go? Okay.
Oh, I went to Vegas. No, it wasn't that time. It wasn't that time. I was alone. But yeah, Booker T was like limping all over the place. He can barely move, and he still beat Seth Payne, which... Mm. There you go. So Booker T is our champion of the Killer Bee Fight Club tournament, which is pretty cool. All right, so Booker T is the winner. Is UConn a blue blood? UConn beating Purdue by double digits. It was the biggest point margin in the tournament in history, or like the last 30 years, whatever that stat was. Do you consider UConn a blue blood?
I think they're there now. Yeah, I think with I hate it because Hurley's just, he's arrogant. He's he's rude in a lot of ways. He crosses the line. I mean, going on the court and pushing his player to get in the right spot is a little interesting. Getting into it with Zach Edey. But you look at his recruiting class coming off back-to-back championships, and it's hard not to say that they're going to be there for a while. You look at the fact that Kentucky, who's always been a blue blood, now with Calipari leaving, it's going to be interesting. And he wasn't very successful except for getting big names that were one and done but not getting the end result like he had been. I think it's very, very easy to say that they are going to be one of the blue blood programs for college basketball for the foreseeable future.
I think they might be the bluest of bloods this century. They're tied for third most national championships ever. UCLA 11, Kentucky 8, UConn now has 6, which is tied for North Carolina. It's weird to think that UConn has more national titles than Duke and Indiana and Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. They have one more than Duke and Indiana. They have 2 more than Kansas. UConn has also won all 6 of theirs since 1999. They've won 5 of their 6 since 2004. UCLA hasn't won one since 1995. Kentucky's won 1 this century. North Carolina's won 3, 05, 09, 17. Duke has won 3 this century, 01, 10, 15. Indiana hasn't won one since 1987. So you could make a case that of like the newest blue bloods or like who is the current blue blood that's the best of all the others, that UConn would be on that list. Absolutely, UConn deserves to be on this list. If you just Google who are the blue bloods, they list six teams: UCLA, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, Duke, and UConn. It's interesting they didn't list Indiana, because Indiana's always been a blue blood. Is it fair to throw Indiana out of this blue blood conversation?
You know why it is? Because it's like the Cowboys. The Cowboys have had a ton of Super Bowl success over the history of the franchise. They haven't done anything in the last two decades plus. I think that's the same way with Indiana. Indiana basketball under Bobby Knight was legendary, and the undefeated season and all the different things they were able to do. But when you start thinking about what have you done for me lately, the recency of teams that have won it, continued to win it back then and now too, I don't think Indiana qualifies.
Yeah, I'm kicking them out. Any objection, Brian?
No, absolutely. When did you say the last title was? 1986? Is that what you said?
87, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was born in 83, so that's a long time. You can't go basically for almost 40 years.
I was born in 85. Oh, Lankers, when were you born?
87 was the Key Smart game?
Yeah, I believe so. No, was that 81?
He beat Jordan. They beat Carolina, and Key Smart hit the shot in the corner. Oh, no, they beat Syracuse, I think.
Yeah, didn't Jordan come out after they won the national championship?
Yeah, Jordan hit the shot that won it for Carolina. Yeah. Similar
that was
to the Smart.
Jordan,
right?
Jordan did Smart, get beat in his last year.
No, Smart won it against Syracuse, I believe, with a shot in the corner, and that was the last time Indiana won it.
Still, we're talking about the 80s.
Yeah.
We're talking about a title that happened when Reagan was president.
And still wearing the same warm-up bottoms,
team,
too.
Right? 81 was the undefeated team last undefeated. No, that was
76.
Was that 76? So Scott 76 May and was Quinn the last Buckner. Time there's been an undefeated team?
I think Joel's right, yeah.
76 was Scott May, Quinn Buckner, Kent Benson. They were undefeated.
Did you ever read that book about Indiana?
I did.
The great, what was it called? You did read it?
Yep.
I read it, too. It's a good book.
Yeah, there's several on the general that I've read. Some of them not so flattering. Others, good read. Feinstein wrote one of them.
So we're kicking out Indiana. You get with all the others.
You know the one that kind of comes to mind, but you can't because they've won it recently? But Kansas, I think, has fallen down a notch. But they'll reload. It's just...
I mean, they've won two since 08.
Yeah, but only four overall. It does feel like they're... If you're tiering teams inside of the Blue Bloods, I would have them on the lowest tier.
I also think UCLA has fallen
way up. They haven't won one since 95, and they've only won once since 1975.
Who's at UCLA now? Cronin?
Yeah.
I think UCLA's fallen off.
Too, by the way.
What's that?
I've heard they don't want to do the NIL stuff.
Oh. Yeah, I think UCLA is overrated on that list. Yeah, they won the totality of championships, but what have they done recently?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot.
They got to a final in, what, 2006 or 2007 against Florida?
Who are you talking about?
UCLA.
Well, UCLA played Gonzaga in the COVID Final Four.
Okay, that's when it was. They lost to Baylor. A couple finals then.
UCLA lost to Gonzaga. No, it wasn't the final. It was they got to the Final Four, but they lost to Gonzaga in the semifinal. That Jalen Suggs, remember, hit that. You know,
yeah, that was the guy with the Heat now.
Suggs.
No, with the Heat, not the Magic.
On UCLA, Yaquez.
Jaime Jaquez. There you go. Yep.
That Baylor team was stupid good. This is the first back-to-back championship since Florida. 17 years between Florida and UConn. Do we see a back-to-back champion in less time the next time around?
You know what? I think we do.
Joel's got to say yes. It was his cash or trash it.
Well, but I also think it's because of the fact that until they kind of figure out NIL and the transfer portal, the teams with the most money and the blue bloods that have the most influence, they're going to keep loading up, and they're going to be the haves versus the have-nots. So I would say that it's going to happen. Yeah, I think that there's a good chance.
I agree with that because, like, we think transfer portal, NIL, roster movement's going to be way more, which it will be.
Mm-hmm.
But the top programs are always going to get the best players, like whether it's a one-year guy, whether it's a two-year, whatever. So I think it's going to happen in less time this go-around.
You look at what's happened to Carolina and Duke with legendary coaches going by the wayside and new guys coming in, and normally that's when blue bloods kind of fall off. But they've been able to pretty continuously get five stars and big names and stay relevant. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen.
All right, there you have it. 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. How differently would we view the Astros?